The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the final week of the high school football regular season in Louisiana. With the playoffs in sight, dozens of teams across Louisiana will be fighting for positioning in the brackets, while some others will be fighting to get off the bubble and into the postseason. For a handful of teams, this week represents a chance to clinch a district championship or finish the regular season unbeaten. Meanwhile, one team saw its playoff hopes dashed, not on the field, but as a result of an LHSAA ruling. And some games are being moved ahead of a tropical storm that has its sights set on Louisiana. We'll break down all of these storylines and preview this week's top contests next on the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. It's week 10 of the Louisiana high school football season, the final week of the regular season. Playoffs start next week, but before we get there, we have a host of games on the schedule, a lot of them being moved because of the threat of Tropical Storm Raphael. We'll discuss the tropical storm with meteorologist Dave Baker coming up a little bit later in the show. But first, we start with new developments out of the Baton Rouge area, including a team that was on the precipice of a high playoff seed now having to forfeit games. Robin Fambro from The Advocate joining us. And Robin, what's the latest on this U-High story?
Well, what we know is pretty much what we knew yesterday when the LHSA website, you go to where their schedule is, and they basically, when there are forfeits, they go in and list them as forfeits. And U-High had to forfeit its seven wins. So right now they're sitting at 0-9. They will play Port Allen Thursday night in their season finale. The LHSAA, by policy, does not release rulings to the media or anyone other than the school, and they also do not discuss them. And generally, the school does not discuss them. There may be an appeal pending. Not sure about that. We're just going to have to wait and see how it plays out. Right now, the team is obviously preparing for a game Thursday. It changes the power ratings, obviously. That was a big factor. And it looks like U-High would still have a chance to get in. People around the state are projecting them at 27 right now in that Division II select bracket, which is on the bubble. And we'll just kind of have to see the projected power rankings by other people. We don't always go by because the LHSAA has the final say. Their final power ratings will not come out until, obviously, after the games this week.
Right. The reporting deadline for all these games, I believe, is Saturday night at 8 o'clock for the games that are being played on Saturday. So by the time we get to late Saturday night, we'll have an idea of what the playoff brackets will look like, or at least how the seedings will go. Speaking of games that are of importance this week, you have a lot of games in the Baton Rouge area, as well as across the state, that are being moved, ostensibly because of Tropical Storm Raphael and the expected impact. The forecast that we saw the last couple days had it making landfall either late Friday or early Saturday. That timeline's been pushed back. Still, seeing a lot of games in Baton Rouge, even as we record this, get pushed from Friday to Thursday, correct?
Oh, absolutely. We've got 15 Thursday games, including every 5-5A game. That's the district with Dutchtown, Santa, Walker, Denham Springs. All of their games are Thursday night. And then, of course, we have the big game in 4-5A that was always scheduled for Thursday night, and that is Catholic High at Zachary, which is still important. People look at it and say, oh, but Zachary lost last week. Well, that's true. Central beat them 14-3. But here's the thing. The game is at Zachary. If Zachary beats Catholic and the teams play always play close games, it's competitive, you can end up with a three-way tie in the district, which would be interesting. So just some different things to watch there. And obviously a lot of Thursday football to watch.
Absolutely. And if things go well for Zachary in that game, that could also shuffle the power rankings. And again, we'll find out what that will look like on Saturday. Sanamon Denham Springs, they're one of the games that got moved. They may be one of the other big games in 5A in the Baton Rouge area this week.
Well, a win would be a plus for either one, I think, power ratings-wise. For Sanamon, what's at stake is Dutchtown plays Live Oak. Both went out. They share the 5-5-A title, and that's a big deal because those two were part of a three-way tie with Walker last year, and I think that's kind of what the goal is at this point. Obviously, a win helps you power ratings-wise, and if you can pick up a share of that district title, why not?
Of some of these other games that have been moved, what are some of the other ones that stand out to you this week?
Well, really, not a whole lot in terms of what would shake up playoff pictures. I mean, you have a lot of people who are trying to close out their season to, you know, kind of the formality of wrapping up district titles. It's a matter of trying to finish strong, I guess you would say. One game that we're waiting to hear about that hasn't been moved yet is Dunham got the big win over Episcopal last week. They're now 9-0 and can go 10-0 with a win over Slaughter Charter. Slaughter Charter in its first year in 2A has done extremely well. And it's kind of an interesting deal there. The two have never played each other. You don't know what the matchup's going to be like. If you look at other scores, you say, well, maybe not, but you got to give Slaughter credit for being there because, again, that step up between 1A and 2A can be kind of large. And for Dunham wanting to finish 10-0, that's a big deal.
And it certainly is for a Dunham team that has been, they've played phenomenal ball all year long, and this is a team that looks like they're poised to make a run for the Superdome. If there's one thing that Dunham needs to improve upon, what is it? Is there anything they need to improve upon?
I just like the way they persevere. I mean, you talk about a team that has a quarterback in Elijah Haven, who's the top prospect in the nation at that position for 2027. Well, guess what? They couldn't throw the ball last week. Nobody could. And he scored 3 rushing touchdowns, which is generally not the forte. You generally don't want your guy doing that, but that's what they wound up doing. They, you know, wound up handling the situation with the field conditions and with the rain better. You know, we came in kind of wondering what this was all going to look like because they did graduate some key guys from last year, but it just seems like everybody has filled in. They played extremely well. Any questions we've had defensively seem to have been answered, and the new receivers have stepped up. They, as one of the kids I interviewed last week for Episcopal told me, their running game is sneaky good. You don't think they're that good because you're expecting them to pass.
And they've been sneaky good in every part of every facet of football, really. This is a team that can play defense. We know what they have offensively. Their special teams have been good this year. And for Dunham, considering that Elijah Haven is only a sophomore this year, the sky for this team is the limit for them over the next few years.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch and see how it plays out. I mean, it kind of looks like you got lightning in a bottle, and you're just going to want to see how it shakes out.
Lastly, Robin, before we let you go, with the playoff brackets coming out this weekend, what are some of the bubble teams that you think will be getting into the playoffs? Who are some of the ones you think will be left behind after this week?
You know, I don't really like to make projections on that because you just don't know. Week 10 is a time when some teams pull upsets, others don't. We're just going to have to see how it plays out. Some teams are certainly deserving of it, but every year you see teams that you think are going to get in that don't, and teams that you don't expect to get in that may, you know, and a lot depends on placement. A lot of them kind of know now. it's just going to be interesting to see how it plays out and see if there's any significant movement over what we know right now. Usually there isn't, but we'll just kind of have to see. I'm going to kind of let that one go.
And we'll wait and see what happens both Thursday and Friday night in the Baton Rouge area as games get moved to Thursday, and that'll be a recurring theme as we go across the state throughout the rest of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. Robin Fambro from the Baton Rouge Advocate joining us. Robin, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week for the playoffs.
Thank you so much.
And when we come back from this break, we'll speak with Dave Baker, meteorologist, who will give us an update on Tropical Storm Raphael, and then we'll go around the rest of Louisiana to preview the biggest Week 10 matchups right here on the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. Stay with us.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Week 10 edition of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. I'm Ian Ozan. And November, you don't expect a tropical system to be in the Gulf of Mexico. Maybe rain, maybe the occasional pop-up shower or storm. But a hurricane or tropical storm disrupting Week 10 football? Unheard of. Well, that might happen this week. We're already seeing some games get pushed from Friday to Thursday. Just out of an abundance of caution, Dave Baker, meteorologist who's covered the Gulf Coast for the last 30 years, joins us on the phone right now. Dave, what can we expect from the artist soon to be known as Raphael?
That's a great way to put it, Ian. We do expect it to become a hurricane, believe it or not, but it looks like it's going to get to be a hurricane perhaps down, you know, closer to Cuba and the Cayman Islands. But then once it starts to move into the Gulf of Mexico, it's probably going to lose some of its punch. A lot of folks have been really worried this particular hurricane season for something else to come up to the Gulf Coast. We've had five hurricanes that have hit the Gulf Coast this season. A couple of them have been really big hurricanes. But fortunately, during the month of November, the waters have cooled considerably closer to the coast of the northern Gulf Coast. So anything that would try to come closer to Louisiana or the Mississippi-Alabama Gulf Coast would likely not have a good chance of strengthening. It would either maintain itself or probably kind of weaken a little bit. But there's going to be a lot of wind shear too. So I'm not super concerned about this being a major impact to the northern Gulf Coast. But as what you're talking about, depending on what the timing is going to be, it could bring some inclement weather for some of those football games.
And for those who may be wondering what the timing of this track is, even if it's still offshore Friday night into Saturday morning, with those rain bands that'll be cycling through, we're still going to see a good bit of wind and rain, even if this storm doesn't get past the tropical storm status, right?
Yeah, and you know what? From the models that I've been looking at, a lot of these are kind of drifting it close to Louisiana and then either just kind of washing out completely or kind of drifting off toward the west. And then you've got a couple of models that kind of cut it a little farther to the east over toward Florida. So at this point in time, it's kind of uncertain if it's actually going to make a landfall and definitely where. But as far as the intensity and the timing, this looks like it might not be coming in until maybe Friday or Saturday. So, you know, moving some of those games to Thursday might be a good idea. But as I've said, I've got a couple of models that keep it offshore even into Saturday and even Sunday. So, you know what? It might be a little rainy. It might be a little bit windy. I don't think this is going to be an overly large type of system. I think it's going to be fairly small and tightly wound. So these tropical storm force winds probably aren't going to go very far away from the center of circulation. So it's really going to be more of the rain. And based on a lot of the tracks that I'm seeing, I'm thinking more of the heavier rains are going to be a little farther to the east of Louisiana, maybe more over toward the Florida panhandle. Of course, that's what we have for right now. The models are pretty consistent on what's going to happen for days 1, 2, and 3. Unfortunately, day 4 and 5, when we start to get into that football forecast, it gets a little bit not quite as clear on where things are going to end up at that point.
Someone I spoke to earlier here in the WWL newsroom mentioned that this could resemble Tropical Storm Marco from the 2020 season, where it became a Cat 1, then fizzled out before it got to the Louisiana coast, just drifted and was a rainmaker, but there was no polo for the Marco, if you will. Do you see some sort of similarities there?
Well, there's a possibility, yeah. What Marco did is it came kind of close, and then it just kind of fizzled out, and then eventually kind of rolled inland. And then I think it was back in 85 we had Hurricane Juan that actually kind of did a loop-de-loop here in Vermilion Bay in the Acadiana region, and then eventually made its way inland. And as far as what I've been able to see, the latest hurricane on season to reach the northern Gulf Coast was Hurricane Kate. And I also believe that was back in 1985. It ended up making landfall along the Florida Panhandle coast as a, I believe it was a tropical storm when it made landfall, but it was a hurricane right off the coast of Louisiana before it kind of turned its way off to the north. It's very unusual to see tropical systems in the Gulf of Mexico during the month of November. It's not unheard of. Most of the time, if you're going to see tropical weather, it's going to be in the Caribbean, and a lot of times they kind of scoot off to the northeast toward Puerto Rico or maybe up through the Bahamas and then out into the Atlantic Ocean. But it is pretty unusual to see something this late. But this has been a really weird hurricane season anyway, Ian. We started out pretty robust. Everything was predicted to be very, very busy, and then that Saharan dust came in and just shut everything down going into the early part of August. But boy, once September reared its ugly head, then you start to get more and more. And October was very busy, and here we are in November continuing to go on. And even some of the 2 to 3 week forecasts are showing at least maybe above normal activity going into the middle and even the latter part of November. But we've had tropical systems that have occurred just about every single month of the year. So sometimes we get some preseason storms and sometimes we get some postseason storms. 2005 was one of those years where we had storms going into December and even January.
Dave Baker, meteorologist covering the Gulf Coast for the last 30 years. Dave, if people want to find you, where can they find you online?
Well, you can find me on Facebook at Acadiana Weather Today, and you can also find my YouTube channel called Acadiana Weather Today. I do daily weather forecasts during the morning and a show called Let's Talk Tropics at noontime. This week, though, is going to be a little different as you're dealing with high school football championships. I deal with high school swimming championships. So Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, I'm actually going to be doing two shows called Let's Talk Tropics, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. That way I can fit in the swim meet in between. So it won't be live, but everybody will get a bonus Let's Talk Tropics for a couple of days this week. And actually good, because we've got a system to watch.
Dave Baker, my thanks for joining us. Good talking to you, my friend. We'll hope to talk to you soon under better conditions.
Yes, sir. Good to talk to you, Ian.
With the weather out of the way, let's get back to previewing our games across the state of Louisiana. Let's go to the New Orleans metro area. Coach Lou Valden, my partner in crime on the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup, joins us. And Coach, the Catholic League this week is as interesting as ever. A great way to close out the season. First off, Edna Carr taking on Archbishop Rummel. District title on the line. If Carr wins, they're the district champions. They're undefeated, 9-0 on the season, 7-0 in district. If Rummel wins, Edna Carr will suffer its first loss, and those two teams will tie for the District 9-5A championship. A lot riding at stake.
And Rummel will win the tiebreaker because they won the game.
So Rummel, does the Catholic League do tiebreakers? Because I know most of the districts in the state of Louisiana, they just leave it as a tie. But the Catholic League, do they do it differently?
Yeah, I think they do it differently. I think if Rummel wins, they're going to get the trophy. They'll be the district champions.
Based on the head-to-head with Edna Carr. So much more riding on this than a split championship. This is a district title based on the head-to-head. This is playoff positioning, too, because we know Rummel and Edna Carr both going to be in the D1 Select playoff. It's just a matter of where. And Edna Carr right now has a strong case of being the number one team in D1 Select.
Yes, and then, so that's the top of the Catholic League. The bottom of the Catholic League, you have Warren Easton playing Jesuit back when my dad was in school, Warren Easton and Jesuit were the two biggest rivals in the city of New Orleans. And Warren Easton is playing for their playoff lives. They have to beat Jesuit to have a chance to get into that 28 teams, because right now they're on the outside looking in.
They are. They've not won a game since Catholic League play began back on September the 28th. They lost to St. Aug 42-19. It's been all downhill from there. Their three wins came against L.B. Landry, Slidell, and a forfeit victory over JFK. That forfeit not helping them at all in the power rankings.
No. And then you have Brother Martin, Holy Cross, and Curtis and Aug. And basically those two games are playing for a bye, because the top eight team's going to get a bye in Division I Select.
So regardless of what the Catholic League standings say, there's a lot on the line, not just pride, but playoff positioning, and in the case of Warren Easton, a place in the playoffs, because if they lose, they're pretty much out. Well, not pretty much out of it. They are out of it. They have to win this week.
Yeah, they have to win, and but they're going to pick up a couple points, because, you know, they're going to pick up a point from Rummel Carr. They're going to pick up a point from Brother Martin Holy Cross. So they're going to pick up three or four points, but I don't think that's going to be enough to get them in.
In District 8-5A, Hanville plays Lakeshore this week. That's a non-district match, but that's going to be an interesting game to see how well Hanville stacks up against one of the tougher teams in Class 4A. We know what Lakeshore brings. We know what Brent Endes brings to the table as the head coach there. What does Hanville have to adjust to, especially after losing to Destrehan last week, to pick up their first loss in district, their second loss overall in the year?
Well, they're going to have to get used to an offense they don't see all year. They got 1 week to get ready for the wing T. You know, that's going to be difficult as it is. You know, you're coming off a really, really tough loss to Destrehan where you played well. And basically, you were in a position to maybe get a bye. You were five before Destrehan. But now it looks like you may have to win to get a home game.
Meanwhile, Terrebonne 4-1 in district. They play Central Lafourche. They're on the road at Central Lafourche. Destrehan, who pulled off the home victory against Hanville Friday night, gets Thibodeau, a 4-4 team, fighting for its playoff life. And this is where Hanville will be keeping an eye on these games. If Terrebonne wins, they clinch a share of the district title. If Destrehan wins, they clinch a share of the district title. Right now, Hanville needs some help from Central Lafourche and Thibodeau to win the district outright, which is something we thought would happen, considering the fact they were going in against a Destrehan team that was still finding its footing, and we thought might not have been strong enough to beat Hanville on Friday night. Boy, were we wrong. Destrehan came out of the gate. They fired on all cylinders, and Hanville had a tough time, and they had a tough time against the defense, especially against in the fourth quarter, when they had an opportunity to drive downfield to win the game, but they couldn't do it.
Yeah, and it came down to two physical teams, but one team had more speed, Destrehan. Hanville couldn't adjust to the speed of the Destrehan wide receivers and the running back.
In District 7-5A, Chalmette plays Salmon. That's a district title game. Both teams 3-0 in District 7-5A. Heading into this week's matchup, what do you expect from this one?
Two very evenly matched teams. Neither team really has any kind of explosive players. It's just going to come down. When you have a situation like that, it's going to come down to ball security. You know, it's going to two teams are going to show up, and one team's going to blink, and that's going to be and whichever team doesn't blink and make a mistake is going to be the district champion.
Let's jump down to 4A right quick. This is the game we're going to be at on Friday night. Archbishop Shaw at St. Charles. St. Charles struggled early on. They lost four of their first five games. They had another one get canceled because of Hurricane Francine. They lost against a team from Texas, the Legacy School. Then district play began. They beat Belle Chase. They beat Kennebrew Discovery. And now they get Archbishop Shaw. Winner of this game gets a district title for St. Charles. Very well could be playing for their playoff lives here.
You know, it's a shame we got to wait till week 10 to find out just how good St. Charles Catholic is. You know, they played, I remember a couple weeks ago, we were looking forward to the St. Charles Belle Chase game because Belle Chase was winning, beating bad teams, and St. Charles was losing, playing good teams. And then they played 14-13, so we really don't know. And so we're going to find out week 10. It's at St. Charles Catholic. So, and it's that's always a very, very tough place to play. But we're going to see, you know, the thing with Shaw is they got the three very, very explosive players. And, you know, that could be St. Charles Catholic's got to stop the run because everything comes off of that. Everything comes off of the option between Jasper Parker and Mason Wilson. So they got to stop the run. If not, it's going to be a long night for the Comets.
And one other game that we want to mention, we'll talk a little bit about this one with Troy LaBeouf a little bit later on today, and that's Vanderbilt Catholic and Edie White, two teams that are 5-1 in District 8-4A. They can't catch Lutcher. That is unless Lutcher gets upset by South Lafourche this week. Vanderbilt and Edie White, this is a rivalry matchup in the Terrebonne Parish area, and for two teams that know each other well, two fan bases that know each other well, this is a great way to close out the season.
Yeah, absolutely. Vanderbilt's kind of been flying under the radar. You know, we haven't spoken about them. I mean, we saw Edie White against Lutcher. Edie White played very well. Just Lutcher had a couple explosive players, and Edie White didn't. You know, Edie White's one of the favorites in Division II select. But all of a sudden, I looked at the records, and I saw Vanderbilt, and I said, whoa, you know, hold on here. Vanderbilt might be a pretty good football team also. So this ought to be a heck of a football game. In the home of Thibodeau area.
It certainly will, and we'll talk more about it with Troy LaBeouf coming up a little bit later on in this week's edition of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. Coach Lou Valden, my partner in crime on the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. You can hear us live this week on FM 105.3 WWL as we're live at St. Charles as they host Archbishop Shaw. That's 7 o'clock to 10:30 Friday night on WWL FM, WWL.com, and the Odyssey app. Coach Lou, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll see you Friday night, my friend.
All right, Ian.
We roll on to the Lafayette area. Kevin Foote from the Acadiana Advocate joins us. And Kevin, will start in 3-5A. The Acadiana Rec and Rams have wrapped up at the very least a share of the District 3-5A championship. They're 8-1 overall, 6-0 in district. Throw those records out the window, though. Karen Crow hosting the Rec and Rams this week, and the Golden Bears playing not only to get back to 500 and finish the season at 500, they're playing for their playoff lives right now, or at the very least, trying to play for better positioning. Karen Crow, Acadiana, this rivalry goes way back. Do the Golden Bears have any chance of knocking off the Wrecking Rams here?
Well, on paper you would say no. Now, there's been quite a few upsets, like to your point, in the last two or three decades in this series. I just don't know if they're physical enough on the line of scrimmage. Acadiana's just kind of mauling people in that area, but certainly one of our better matchups, and that's the Thursday one. And, as the week goes on, we have about 8 games scheduled for Thursday and got another 2 or 3 today, including another 2 or 3 today that were moved because not wanting to battle that storm. But no, the Acadiana Karen Crow matchup, certainly one of the ones, if not the best one on the Thursday docket.
In 4-4A, St. Thomas More gets North Vermilion at home this week. Terling's hosting Northside. St. Thomas More last week pulling off the victory against Terling's 48-34, a game that never really was close. And for the Cougars, who struggled early on, is that a statement win? Does that game or that victory prove that the Cougars are who we thought they were coming into the season?
Well, I mean, they all along their defense has been good. Now, I thought Terling's did a lot of good things on offense in the passing game, a little bit more than I thought they would against St. Thomas More. But SCM's running attack was just fabulous in that game, just really physical up front, kind of ran the ball whenever they needed to. The passing game was good at times and made some big plays. They had one situation where it was like, I think it was 3rd and 23, and they hit a 40-yard pass. So, the passing game was there when they really needed it, but the running game powered them. So, yeah, I think STM is going to certainly be a threat from here on out. And Terling's, that game was originally on Thursday, but they moved it and moved their homecoming to this week because, if you remember, their homecoming game was canceled as a result of that North and Como brawl. The following week. So, yeah, they're going to be playing homecoming in week 10 on Friday, which is kind of, kind of got backed into a corner to do that. But I thought both of those teams had their moments, and STM looked really good in that game.
District 4-3A championship on the line. Northwest hosting Iota. Iota is 8-1 overall. Northwest 7-2. Both teams identical 5-0 records in district heading into this week. Who has the advantage?
Well, this is by far, I think, the best game in the Acadiana area this week. And as far as I know, that game will
still be held on Friday. You know, Iota can Peyton Winfrow has been a big play player for a couple of years at quarterback. He's running it a little more. He could certainly throw it. Northwest, I kind of give Northwest a little bit of an advantage because of the defense. Their defensive line was really good last year, carried them to the semis. Really good again this year. Obviously, they added the elite all-state type running back from St. Edmund, and he's been rushing for over 200 yards on a pretty regular basis, and Kavon Johnson. So, you know, they're at home, and I think their defense is a little better, but this is a whale of a matchup.
It certainly is. Northwest, a state semifinalist last year in Division II non-select. One of two St. Landry Parish teams to get to the Final Four. The other, obviously, Opelousas. They won it all last year. And for the Raiders at Northwest, they would love nothing more than to get back there. And this is a team that has the talent to do it.
Yeah, I think they do. Again, a lot of teams are really good on offense, and they are good on offense. But when you can, when you have elite players on your defensive front, that can separate you, especially at that level, and we'll see how they can do from here on out.
Notre Dame 5-4 on the season. They host 5-4 Welsh this week, Lafayette Christian. They're at 5-4 Lake Arthur. For the Knights at Lafayette Christian Academy, they're 2-1 in district, but they're 3-6 overall. It's not usual for LCA to be in this position at the end of the year. They still probably make the playoffs, but as a low seed. How far do you see LCA going in the playoffs once they get there?
You know, we'll have to see what the bracket looks like. They haven't done anything consistent enough, I don't think, to make me believe that they're going to be making, you know, a really deep run in their bracket. But, you know, it certainly wouldn't surprise me if they won a game or so. You know, I think the other game that interests me at that level is Ascension Episcopal, who blitzed Westminster Lafayette last week, is going to Lafayette Renaissance on Thursday. And Renaissance played, score a lot of points against Notre Dame. They didn't beat Notre Dame, but they score a lot of points in that game. And Ascension has the ability to score a lot of points, probably playing a little more defense. And so I think that has to be a chance to be a really entertaining game between the Blue Gators and Renaissance.
Absolutely, and two coaching staffs that know each other, if not from playing each other over the years, certainly from being around the Lafayette area. Of course, that coaching staff Correct. That's at Lafayette Renaissance, the staff that was up until last year at Lafayette Christian Academy, Ascension Episcopal, 8-1, 3-1 in district. As for Lafayette Renaissance, they come into this game with a 6-2 record. This, by the way, not a district matchup. Vermilion Catholic, undefeated, looking to go 10-0 in the regular season. They get Westminster Christian Lafayette. They're 7-2. I'd imagine Vermilion Catholic wins this one and wins it rather handily.
Yeah, I mean, they've been beating everybody handily for the most part. And even Ascension, they won by double figures. So, yeah, I don't think anybody's thinking this one's going down to the wire. And for VC, it's just a matter of staying healthy and seeing if they can make that deep run.
Jumping back to 2A for a moment, I don't want to ignore Lorville. We've not talked about them much this year. They started slow, lost their first four games, came back. Well, they've won three of their last four. They're now 3-5 overall, 3-1 in district. They get West St. Mary this week, who's 5-3, 2-2 in district. For Lorville, this may be a must-win for them to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, and I really like their chances. You're right. I think they were the team, one of the teams in our area that they, even though they got up to a slow start, it's not real surprising that they bounced back and played a lot more consistently. You know, the way they've been playing, I'd be surprised if they didn't get the win. You know, Delcom's a team that's been really down, and Lorville blitzed Delcom. But Delcom, for their level, you know, they're going to Franklin, hopefully, to get a win. And if they can, they've been running the ball lately, maybe sneak into the playoffs. But, no, I really like Lorville's chances of doing so.
And, of course, the district champion there is Catholic New Iberia. They've run the table so far. They're at 4-0 in district, 8-1 overall. Their lone loss to Vermilion Catholic. Not going to see those two match up in the playoffs because they're in different divisions. But, boy, it would be fun to see them eventually, during the next reclassification, get grouped together and see what they can do together in the playoffs down the road. He is Kevin.
Yeah, you know, they've been throwing the ball real well. No question. Luke Landry's on fire. That's true.
He is Kevin Foote from the Acadiana Advocate, joining us to give us the lay of the land of the Acadiana area. Kevin, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week for the bye districts.
All right. Thank you, sir.
And we're back with more of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview right after this.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Week 10 edition of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview rolls on as we head towards the Bayou region and the River Parish as Troy LaBeouf joins us. And Troy, a little while ago with Coach Lou Vallon, we discussed the E.D. White Vanderbilt Catholic game and how big of a matchup that is for this week. These are two fan bases, two teams that know each other real well, and two teams that are going to be battling not only for a district title but also playoff positioning this week. This may be the best game in your area that we've seen all year.
Yeah, good to be with you again this week. We're talking playoff implications. We're talking week 10. We're talking power ratings. Everybody's got their crunch, their number crunch specialists working on where they're going to be. Come the sites will probably crash on Friday night, and as everybody will be looking at the different sites that put out the power rankings. But this is a massive game between these two teams. I mean, Lutcher's going to take care of business this week. They should handle that pretty easy. But you're battling not only for second place, which doesn't mean a whole lot, but what you're battling for is playoff power ratings. And you're battling for bragging rights, because these schools are close. They're about 15 minutes apart. A lot of these kids know each other. I mean, two very well-coached teams, two teams that are having outstanding seasons, two teams that somewhat mirror each other. I'd give a little bit of the edge C.D. White, special teams-wise, their kicker is phenomenal. He's good from 50 in, if you ask me. So if you give him a chance to win a game with a kick, you can almost take it to the window in Vegas that he's going to make it. But Vanderbilt's having a really outstanding season. I mean, their running back Coleman's really good. C.D. White's going to have to figure out ways to scheme against him to keep him bottled up. But I think at the end of the day, This game will be in Houma at Vandy Catholic. At the end of the day, I think the Cardinals are a little bit better, but I think this is going to be who can control the clock in this game and who can take care of the ball. It sounds like coach talk, but I think that because they're so evenly matched, because they're so well coached, I think it comes down to those two factors, and I like E.D. White to win this one.
Another team that's looking for playoff positioning is Riverside, and we know how good they've been, but this is a squad that's not going to play this week. Their game canceled because Crescent City doesn't have enough players to go. So what's going to happen to Riverside? Are they going to hold that number five, or is this cancellation going to impact them negatively?
That's interesting. You know, I was waiting to get word on that. I'm glad you – I think if they would have played the game, obviously they would have won. But it would have hurt them. You know, they're sitting at five, like you said. Being there, they're not playing the game. So you're telling me that they'll be – it's just a cancellation, correct?
Correct. That's what I'm hearing from my correspondents over there, that it's a cancellation.
If it's a cancellation, then they won't have to divide by that – add that game into their math, into their calculations. This could – because, look, I really – after looking at it more – I had them dropping maybe to 6-7, possibly 8 if they played that game. Now this might be the best thing that could happen for them. I mean, not playing a game, they could stay 5 or 6. And look, Division IV, I think you have anywhere from 8 to 10 teams that could stake claim on a potential state championship, and Riverside's one of them. So this may benefit Riverside by not playing this game.
Another team that's going to benefit this week is St. Charles. They play Archbishop Shaw, and St. Charles is on the bubble. This is a district title game for 9-4A, both teams undefeated in district. But for St. Charles, we still quite don't know how good they are just because they've really been punching up all year. So with that in mind, what does St. Charles have to do to beat a tough Archbishop Shaw squad at home?
They have to play their best game of the season. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. Shaw is number one for a reason in Division II Select. And look, these teams could see each other again. I've seen it where teams have played for district championships, you know, in week 10 and play each other in week 11 or week 12, depending on how it comes out. Obviously, if St. Charles wins this game, it's going to be huge. It's going to put them into a situation where they could get a bye. And who would have thought 4 weeks ago we were talking about the Comets who are not in the playoffs. So now they sit at number 10, Shaw is number one. Again, the Comets can pull this upset, and I do call it an upset because I think Shaw is very good at what they do. They can run the football. Hank Thurney's a great coach. Great coach and staff on the other side. Shaw's just got more offense than St. Charles does. So this one's going to come down to can St. Charles muster enough offense to give their defense a little bit of a rest and not have to be out there after consecutive three and outs, punt, and have to defend Shaw sideline to sideline and vertical for the entire game. So the magic recipe for success in this game is figure out a way for your offense to get points if they can, but have long drives and keep the ball away from Shaw, and that might be enough for St. Charles to pull an upset here.
And you look at some of these 5A teams, Terrebonne, Destrehan, and Hanville are close together right now in the power rankings, only a few spots separating them. And they have big matches this week. Lutcher's number two right now. They've clinched a district title. St. James right now, number two, probably will hold in that spot. If there are any teams or any games this week that you think might impact the power rankings, what are they?
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a bit of scenarios. If you look at with Destrehan, obviously, beating Hanville in a 31-24 win was a battle on the river at Wildcat Stadium. The Destrehan win, it creates a three-way tie atop District 8-5A. Wildcats, Tigers, and Terrebonne Tigers, each having one loss. So Hanville is finished. They play a non-district game, play a really good team at Lakeshore this week. So it'd be a really good matchup for those guys heading into the playoffs. Hopefully they can stay healthy. But then you got Terrebonne at Central Lafourche. No disrespect to Central Lafourche. I think Terrebonne's going to win that game. But then Destrehan. So Destrehan, I think they win as well. So then you're looking. Then you're going to have to go to different ways to break the tie. Who beat who? You're going to finish it. You could finish as tri-champion. So it's going to be interesting to see how it turns out. There's some other scenarios from some other teams that you talk about with other people on here that could change the possibility of the three teams we talked about, Terrebonne at 10, Destrehan at 13. Now, Hanville dropped all the way to 16. They're trying to still host in the first round. Right now they are, but that could certainly push them out. And like you said, Lutchers, I think they stay where they are, right ahead of Plaquemine. They'll have a bye. St. James will stay at 2. They have a bye. And then a little team that we brought back in, a team in Covenant, they're going to be somewhere 4-5 range, maybe 6, depending on what happens. So it's going to be interesting to see some of these teams jockeying for position. Like I said, everybody's going to be looking at the power ratings come Friday night from 10 o'clock on. You might be better off leave it alone till about 2 or 3 in the morning because there's going to be too many people on it from 10 to 12.
And I guarantee you there are going to be some schools that are late to report too. So wait till Saturday morning, Saturday evening. That'll give you your best look. And West St. John, let's give them some love. An amazing turnaround this year. They're more than likely hosting next week too.
Yes. I mean, what Coach Thomas has done is amazing. They got some pretty easy opponents to enter in the season. But, you know, they played some good teams in St. Martin and Riverside. So that should get them ready. I think Division IV non-select, well, West St. John is number 11. Watch for that team to potentially, if they can get a good draw, to be maybe quarterfinals, maybe make it to the final eight. I think Division IV non-select is wide open with Oak Grove moving up
to Division II. That leaves South Plaquemine is kind of making a resurgence. So it's going to be wide open. Look for Haynesville there as well. So North Everville, a team that Ascension Catholic beat by 45 points, is number three. So that kind of gives you an idea. No disrespect to North Everville, but that's just the way it is. It's much stronger on the select side in Division IV.
He is Troy LaBeouf, our River Parishes and Bayou Region correspondent. Troy, as always, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week for the first round of the playoffs.
I look forward to it, Ian. Everybody be safe out there.
From the River Parishes in the Bayou region, we now go on to the Lake Charles area. Chasten Tavares with 92.9 The Lake joins us in Chasten. You've got three big district championship matches going on in your area this week, correct?
Yeah, well, actually, we've got two. We've got, of course, we got Jennings taking on Westlake in the 3A district, which should be a ton of fun. We got to see the Jennings Bulldogs last week take on, or we got to see the Jennings Bulldogs, of course, 2 weeks ago defeat Notre Dame. And boy, we found out a lot about the Jennings Bulldogs. They have a chance to compete for a state title, I believe, this year in Division II non-select. We got to see Westlake last week as they took on South Beauregard. It was 20-20 heading into the fourth quarter, and then all of a sudden, a couple of fumbles. I feel like South Beauregard kind of got a little fumble happy on back-to-back drives, and Westlake was able to get out of Longville with a win. So that's going to be a district title game. I think at worst, Jennings is going to capture a share. If they win the game, they get it outright. And then the game we're going to be doing this week for our Southwest Louisiana Game of the Week over on 92.9 The Lake will be DeQuincy and Vinton. It's the Big Cat Classic, the second oldest rivalry in Southwest Louisiana behind DeRidder and Leesville. And look, these are two teams who, quite frankly, haven't won district in a very long time. Both of them sitting at the top, both of them are undefeated, kind of in a weaker district, but they both get to battle it out this week. DeQuincy hasn't won district since 2000, the year I was born, and then Vinton hasn't won district since they were co-champs of those six, haven't won it outright since 2003, so that should be a ton of fun for a big rivalry game on Friday night.
In District 3-5A, you have two schools and another rivalry matchup at Calcasieu Parish. You have Sam Houston hosting Barb. Sam Houston trying to get above 500, finish the season at 6-4 overall, and be above 500 in district. Barb, meanwhile, they've rattled off three straight wins, looking to end the season on a four-game win streak as they head into the playoffs.
Yeah, look, obviously last week Sam Houston got Acadiana, and well, good luck anybody taking on Acadiana. Barb got Sulphur in a game that got out early and then, you know, kind of gave the lead away because they obviously won by two touchdowns, but Sulphur kind of tried to make a late surge there in the end. But look, that is a big-time matchup. I think if we didn't have a couple of district titles on the line Friday night, that's where we'd be because that game is going to be awesome. I think it's going to be who can get the most stops defensively because we both know the offenses for both Barb and Sam are going to be clicking on or do click on you know on a high cylinder.
In 3-4A, Iowa goes to DeRidder. Iowa, they are the district champion, at least have a share of it. DeRidder with the upset victory not only would end a seven-game win streak for Iowa, they would clinch a share of the district title. Leesville, also 3-1 in district, they get LaGrange, who has struggled mightily. LaGrange loses their last three, trying to get on the winning page before they make the playoffs. But for LaGrange, they need the win to guarantee themselves a spot because right now they're on the outside looking in.
Yeah, LaGrange with a big start to the season, starting off 5-1. But this is a tough matchup with Leesville. I don't think they're going to be able to get the win. We'll certainly see. Iowa, that is a team. You know, there's a couple of polls that are put out by a couple of publications across the state, and you know they've got Jennings and Iowa. Iowa hasn't lost to a team inside of the confines of the state of Louisiana, and Jennings, their lone loss comes to Iowa, and you know neither of those teams ranked in some of the polls that are put out across the state, which I find very ironic and very silly. But look, Iowa is a team, another like Jennings, that you know they have a potential. They've got I think they're sitting around the 6-7-8 mark right now in the power ratings, which means they get probably about a 7 or 8 seed. That's another team that I think can make another deep run in the playoffs.
Speaking of Jennings in 3-3A play, they get Westlake this week. Jennings looking to win their ninth straight game of the year. Last week beat St. Louis 56-3. Westlake last week beat South Beauregard 41-20. And moving down to 2A, Notre Dame goes to our host Welsh this week, I should say. Notre Dame beating Lafayette Renaissance last week 48-34. Welsh, they've struggled in district this year, though they did beat Lake Arthur last week. Can Welsh pull the upset here?
Yeah, I don't know. Anytime we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, anytime Notre Dame takes on, you know, teams from this area, it doesn't tend to go well. Maybe Jennings beating Notre Dame kind of changed the script on that a little bit a couple of weeks ago, but I imagine the Pios are going to be pretty upset, and they'll come in and they imagine we'll handle business against Welsh. The Greyhounds still a little bit banged up, even though they've been playing well, even though without quarterback Jonathan Begnaud.
And to give some love to two teams we haven't talked much about this year in District 4-1A, Hamilton Christian looking to win their eighth straight games. They play Basile this week in district play. A win would guarantee them sole possession of the 4-1A championship. Grand Lake with a win over Oberlin and some help from Basile would get a share of the district title. Grand Lake 5-3, they're winners of three straight, taking on a 3-5 Oberlin team this week. And these are two teams that, while they haven't made much hay in the state of Louisiana, at least in the newspapers, these are two teams that might be sneaky favorites to make a run at least through the first couple rounds of the playoffs.
Yeah, that's how I kind of feel about Grand Lake. I think that's a team who's coming on late. They played a tough non-district schedule. You know, they're finally kind of starting to come into their own. They've got a great coaching, Coach Jeff Wainwright. It's a team that's playing pretty good football. And it's the same for Hamilton Christian. My goodness, Dexter Washington has done a tremendous job with that group. I mean, they don't have many kids over at Hamilton, but man, the Warriors, they play really hard, and that's a pretty darn good squad that Coach Dexter Washington has, and it could be an interesting football game.
Hamilton Christian, known for their bat sports, strong baseball, strong softball squads, then finally starting to see them come up in football, which has been a long time coming. This is a program that's been close, and it looks like they're finally getting over the hump and might be a serious contender in 1A, not just this year, but in future years as well. Chasen Tavares from 92.9 The Lake in Lake Charles joining us to give us the lay of the land of Southwest Louisiana. Chasen, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week for the playoffs.
There it is. Appreciate it. Look, the best news that came out from the weekend was Dennis Allen getting fired.
Yeah, you're right about that. That, for those of you listening at WWL.com, more coverage of that at WWL.com as well as on the air. Chasen, as always, we appreciate the time, my friend. Take care.
Appreciate you.
We're back with more of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview right after this. The Pelican State Prep Football Preview Week 10 edition rolls on by going to North Louisiana. We start on the northwestern side of the state, the Shreveport Metro. Tim Fletcher from KWKH 1130 The Tiger joins us. And Tim, let's start in District 1-5A. Doesn't get any easier for any of these teams. We know how stacked this district is. Airline, they're undefeated, looking to go 10-0 on the season when they play Huntington, who's trying to finish above 500. They're 5-4 entering this game. Parkway gets Evangel. Parkway 8-1, 6-1 in district. Evangel trying to finish at 500. They're 4-5 right now. Bird getting Captain Shreve. Bird at 7-2, Shreve at 5-4. These are a lot of even matchups, I should say, and throw the records out the window. You've got a lot of rivalries here and teams jockeying for playoffs, and that makes everybody dangerous.
It does, and especially if you look at some of these games, especially the Airline Huntington game, Captain Shreve, Bird, Evangel Parkway, Loyola Northwood, Minden Southwood, North DeSoto Bossier, those are all going to be on Thursday nights. So that's takes a little bit of the spotlight away from Friday nights, but some of these schools like Airline, Huntington, North DeSoto, Shreve, Bird, Evangel Parkway, Loyola Northwood, Minden, they all have either playoff spots sewn up or more. Some of them actually have home games, even buys to play for, but this gives them that extra day of rest, maybe a day of scouting that they can go take a look at a couple of teams on Friday in South Louisiana or Northeast Louisiana that they may face in the postseason. So we see an influx of games on Thursday, which is bad for us. We have a Friday night radio show, but it's good for them. I understand exactly why they're doing it. And the other thing, of course, Ian, that you want to do heading into the postseason, you want to be playing really well. And Airline is playing really, really well. It's easy to say a 9-0 team's playing pretty good football, but they haven't been 9-0 since 1996. And so obviously that was the year they went undefeated and lost to either Ruston or West Monroe in the first round of the playoffs back in the old days where first place played second place over Northeast Louisiana and vice versa. And so it's been a minute since Airlines had this kind of success. And they've got an opportunity to finish a regular season undefeated when they take on Huntington next week. But it's the show, man. It's Ben Taylor at quarterback, Kenny Darby, Jarvis Davis, wide receivers, DJ Allen at running back. It's just the same cast of characters that is unstoppable so far. Bird, of course, turned the ball over the first two times they had the possession last week. against Airline, and that made it 21-0 pretty quickly. And Bird's offense, Veer, multi-option, kind of the Air Force military academy type option plays, that's not the offense you got to be able to run to try to come back from a 21-0 deficit. And from there, they chewed up a lot of clock, which kept Airline from getting their score up to the 50s and 60s. But still, a 35-21 win, that's pretty doggone salty. And the Parkway Panthers just got to keep on keeping on, man. They've from week four, after the Natchitoches Central game when they lost seven players due to suspensions and their starting quarterback got hurt, they brought in Gavin Farrington, who was our player of the week 2 weeks ago for his efforts. A kid that hadn't played high school football since his ninth grade year. He's a senior. He's been playing lacrosse, going to play lacrosse at Centenary. And he has come in and just done a very nice job of managing things. They still have a two-headed monster at running back. C.J. Dudley is a load to bring down. He's the bull. And Kamaro Mayo is a super stud defensive back. Also played a little bit of running back, 108 yards last week, caught six balls as well. So we've got some teams at 1-5A that are ready to do some damage, and I think that Evangel's got a lot to prove here against Parkway on Thursday night. If they can pick up a win like that, and Evangel has come so close on four different occasions to picking up district wins, losing by one score, that's a big game for them. That would help out their power points, obviously, with Parkway coming in 8-1. And so it's a big deal. Shreve and Bird is the biggest rivalry in the city. The principals have to be on notice. There's usually police officers patrolling the campuses the week of the game to make sure there's no hijinks done. And so it'll be the same thing this week, except it's a day earlier. But it's a bigger game probably for Shreve than it is even for Bird, because Shreve needs to try to rise up those power ratings as well. Because when you look at the D1 Select right now, you see Captain Shreve is a little further down than they want to be, you know. And meanwhile, you've got the Bird Yellow Jackets are right now riding in the ninth spot. Shreve is at 19, and a loss to Bird would send them further down. And I don't think that Shreve wants to have to face any of those schools at the top of the charts there right out of the chute. Evangel hanging on like a hair in a biscuit to a playoff spot right now. So they almost have to win on Thursday night when they take on Parkway. So big games, I think, is an understatement. Loyola coming off that game against North DeSoto. North DeSoto flexed their muscles pretty good last week, wrapped up the division crown or district crown. Loyola wants a rebound against a Northwood team that has come on strong here of late. They've got a quarterback in Jackson Bensler that is playing lights out. He's a stud baseball pitcher, and they've kind of found a nice little formula there. And so, yeah, we've got some fun games in 1-5A and 1-4A. But let's not forget the little guys, the smaller schools. Congratulations to Red River out of Coushatta. They win their district championship for the first time in 3-2A for the first time since 1996, I believe. Logansport wrapped up their district championship. And Kevin McGee got his 100th career win at his alma mater. He's won a state championship as a player there. He's won a state championship as a coach. So some of our smaller schools, Mansfield, picked up a big win last week. So teams are in that playoff mode up here, buddy. But, yeah, there are some great rivalry games to wrap up the regular season. And then before you know it, and it's hard to believe, Ian, but it's playoff time. It really feels like we were doing jamborees 4 weeks ago. But we are wrapping up the regular season this week, and then I cannot wait for the postseason. Should be a blast. It should be wide open. You know, it doesn't feel like there's just anybody that's completely, utterly, 100%, out of this world fantastic. Edna Carr certainly is great. But you look over there in Northeast Louisiana, I know you talked to Gino and them, but, man, who do you choose between Neville and Rustin? I know that Neville beat them, but it was very, very close. And it's just – it's anybody's game once we get to that postseason play, buddy.
Yes, indeed, Ian. You're right. It just seems like a month ago we started doing this series of programs and this season kicked off. It's hard to believe we're at week 10 and we're only 5 weeks away from the Superdome, so it'll be here before you know it. And who knows, maybe we'll see an Airline or one of these other teams from the Shreveport area in the Superdome when we get there.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping for. We've had a couple get close, and in 5A we haven't had anybody since Evangel was the powerhouse before we had the separation of select and non-select. Of course, Bird made it down there, but got run over by the Acadiana Wrecking Rams, and Parkway was there the same year. It's one of these things where we've had our big schools make it, but it's been a minute, and they don't make it very often. Airline's offense certainly makes me think they've got an opportunity to do this. Parkway, going to be a tougher row to hoe, but they are so big up front. And that's something that you can't coach again. You hear it all the time. You can't coach size, and Parkway has an abundance of it and a very talented secondary. So it will be very interesting how those schools fare in the non-select portion of the playoffs. And over on the select side, yeah, it looks like, you know, from our neck of the woods, Bird is going to be the best hope. They have such a tough offense to figure out. Defensively, they're really, really solid. They've got a quarterback in Harrison Ayers that is able to deliver some things on the money when they need to throw the ball around. But in the select side, it's sure hard to think that anyone's going to get past that top four right now, Catholic High, Acadiana, Ash, or Edna Carr.
He is Tim Fletcher from KWKH 1130 The Tiger, giving us the lay of the land in Northwest Louisiana. Tim, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week for the Bye District.
Sounds good, Ian.
And we head east on I-20 from Shreveport to Monroe. Gene Ponte from the K104 Downs Law Scoreboard Show joins us. And Gene, much like Shreveport, the Monroe area has a ton of Thursday night games this week to give teams that extra opportunity to either rest, to practice, or scout their opponents for the playoffs. What are some of those big Thursday night matchups we're seeing this week?
Hey, and great being back with you. I think a lot of these coaches like to do games on Thursday night when they mean something, too, because of the gate. They got a better chance of getting some folks to come out and watch great matchups. And we've got three scheduled, but two of them are literally, well, I'll take that back. All three of them are for district championships. Delta Charter will come into St. Fred's. And, of course, the Warriors been a surprise to a lot of people. They won last Thursday night. They beat General Trask 40-0. Sterlington goes up to Union Parish. That's going to be a great game every time those two teams wins or play each other. Sterlington was an easy winner over Carroll last week. And whoever wins that game, I think, will get an open round bye. And then Oak Grove comes into North Monroe, and they play Ouachita Christian, who continues to impress despite, you know, really having a complete turnaround on their team. They beat Faraday, a good Faraday team, 56-28. That Jude Turner kid that I've talked about in the past had 204 total yards, four touchdowns. Megan Leonard had, it, I think, almost 150 yards and three more. So it was a good game for them, but obviously it will be for the district championship. Jay Freeman for Oak Grove continues to play well. He had four touchdowns in their win over Madison. So three biggies on Thursday night.
A biggie that's on Friday night, Alexandria and Neville for the District 2-5A championship. Both teams 9-0, 4-0 in district. How do you expect this one to go?
Well, I didn't see that one playing out at the beginning of the year the way that it will on Friday night. Ash has been the beneficiary of having all big ball games, West Monroe, Ruston, and now Neville in their house. So I think that's certainly an advantage to them. Haven't seen both of them play already. I like Ash's chances. I think Neville showed some kink in the armor this past Friday night. Had a lot to do with West Monroe's defense, I thought, who was paced by Peyton Todd. The senior had 14 tackles in their loss. But, hey, look, Neville's a good football team. They beat the Rebels 27-14. Ash came up this way and just dominated Ouachita like no team has this year. They had 615 total yards the other night did the Trojans in winning that ball game 55-12. And of course, JT Lindsey, the LSU commit, had 208 yards rushing. I can't think how many times dude's been over two bills in rushing, but he had three touchdowns on just 12 carries in the first half. So it ought to be a great football game. I do like Ash's chances at home.
Another great game this week, Ruston at West Monroe. Ruston, they lost those two games back-to-back. They lost to Neville. They lost to Alexandria. They got back on the horse last week, beating Pineville. West Monroe trying to finish above 500. A win here would put them at 6-4, 3-2 in district. This is a West Monroe team that, while they may not necessarily be on the bubble, they certainly are going to be on the road in the playoffs for the first time in quite some time.
Yeah, they if things play out and if by chance they lose to Ruston and that ball game is at West Monroe, like you said, they'll finish 5-5 and be on the road in the open round for the first time since 1991. Look, the Rebels had chances against Neville the other night, a lot of chances. Just continue to struggle at a couple of spots on the offensive side of the football. They had three starters on offense out in that ball game, but look, Ruston's a good football team. They played Pineville, and that's always good for any team that's struggling. They won it 49-0. Dylan Brooks had 103 yards rushing, I think, and a couple of touchdowns. But it's going to be quite the atmosphere on Friday night. It is our K104 Friday night game of the week, so we're certainly looking forward to that too.
Based on all of the games that we've seen so far this year, what you expect to happen this week, who are the teams that need to have big wins or huge performances to shore up their spot in the playoffs or to even to punch their ticket? Who on the bubble right now most desperately needs a win this week?
You know, I don't know, to be honest with you, Ian, I don't know if anybody in our area is, quote-unquote, on the bubble. We think everybody that we cover really day in and day out is in the postseason. West Ouachita has a chance to be 9-1, and man, it's been a long, long time since that program's been in that canoe. They beat Peabody 33-27 in a ballgame that they were leading 33-7 at one time, but they have to finish strong to improve their power ranking, so to speak. And then Franklin Parish, man, you know, you and I have talked about them a little bit. They beat Wasserman 33-6 to win their first ever district title. The ticket for them is not to have a letdown as it relates to what they're doing when they get on the road and go down to Tioga this coming Friday. So, anyway, I think everybody's just making sure they get W's to lock down that strong power ranking, and then we'll see what happens in Week 11.
In that same district of Franklin Parish, West Ouachita, they're also 8-1. Their lone loss coming to Franklin Parish back in, Week 6. They get Grant this week. They're another one that has to avoid a letdown.
Yeah, and look, Grant's a good football team, and they play well there. You know that, and I'm sure you'll catch up with your Alexandria reporter, and he'll share some more of that. But, look, C.J. Barr, and they got the Caden Miller kid. Both of those dudes ran for over 150 yards and two touchdowns in that win on the road at Peabody this past Friday. So, anyway, it is going to be a good football game, but I certainly like the Chiefs.
He's Gene Ponte from the K104 Downs Law Scoreboard Show. Gene, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week for the opening round of the playoffs.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it, Ian. Have a great week.
And we continue our look at North Louisiana by going down 165 to Alexandria, the Central Louisiana area. Lamar Gafford from SendLotPreps.com joins us. Lamar, we talked a little bit about this game with Gene a little while ago. Alexandria-Neville, that game at Alexandria. Who you got?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like Ash has a good chance of probably getting the chance to win this one because if you look at them facing against all comers so far this season, and they definitely have answered the challenge, answered the bell in each and every single one of those games. I felt like the one team that was going to give them a lot of trouble, obviously, was going to be Ruston. And then, you know, they really competed very hard in that game, pulled it away at the end there. And right now, I feel like this is just a team of destiny. I mean, they got a team that, you know, a lot of the defense has really stepped up in crucial moments. The offense has definitely played very well. You got a sophomore quarterback that has yet to throw an interception this season. And, of course, you got JT Lindsey, who's continuing to play big and play hard in this one, too. You know, the matter of the fact here is just everybody's just feeling pretty good right now over here at Alexandria. They've been talking about this game pretty much for ever since they beat Ruston. And now, you know, now that we get the chance of having this game, just can't wait to see how this one's going to go.
Tioga Franklin Parish is another big one this week. Franklin Parish, they've won the district. They're 8-1 overall. Tioga fighting for a .500 record. Does Tioga pull the upset here?
It's a possibility they could. And the good thing is they do have a game at home. And that's also going to be very good. And I feel like the Tigers at least going to try to play their hardest in this one. I mean, they know here that this is it for them. Like, if they win this game, chances are they're in the playoffs. And if they lose this game, unless some miracle happens here, they're probably going to be on the outside looking in. So I believe they're going to give it their all. I think Franklin Parish might be a little bit more in the favorite in this one here, but you never know what Tioga has. I mean, so far this season, I mean, they've won their last two games. They played very well. They've also upset Gina this season in Week 5. So they're going to go out there. They're going to give it everything they got here. We'll definitely see here about this one. I'm probably going to go on the side here where I don't think Tioga wins this one. They'll make it close, But stranger things always happen in Week 10.
They certainly do, and we could see strange things happen in District 2-3A. Bunky, 9-0, 4-0 in District. They've wrapped up at least a share of the district title. But Marksville at 5-4, looking for an upset, looking to play the spoiler. Meanwhile, Buckeye 6-3, getting Gina 6-3. Depending on what happens in the Bunky game, the winner of this Buckeye-Gina game could wind up backing into a share of the district title.
Absolutely, and that's the crazy part about it. I mean, I know Bunky is not overlooking Marksville at all. I mean, this is a big rivalry game with that. But you know Marksville really would love to beat a team that spoils this perfect season for Bunky. Now, I got a chance to see them this week with Marksville. They didn't look as great as I thought that they would have or anything like that. I thought they would have been up a little bit more for this Buckeye game. But maybe they probably were looking at Bunky a little bit more in this one here. I could just already imagine here. I mean, you're going to have a lot of star power in that game between both of those teams. And then you also got right now with Buckeye here, you know, of course, they got themselves a big, big win on the road, got themselves possibly a home playoff game for the first time in 10 years. So they're pretty much on a high right now. They already know the job is not finished there. You have Gina that took care of Caldwell pretty handily earlier in week 9 here. So you already imagine Gina's going to be looking forward to trying to, you know, get at least a better playoff position there. So we got some good games coming up in the 3A district here. I still think Bunky holds serve, but there's some very intriguing games there.
Moving to District 5-2A, Kinder and Avoyelles. This is not necessarily a geographic rivalry, but these are two teams that, again, fighting for a district title. Kinder has, at the very least, a share of the 5-2A championship. But Avoyelles, even though they're at 5-4, with a win here, they would clinch a share of the title. Now, Kinder, the 7-2 for the fans over there is a bit of a disappointment. They expect to go 10-0, 9-1 every year and get back to the Super Bowl, or to the Superdome, rather. But with that in mind, this is still a very good Kinder team that should take care of business, even though they're on the road at Avoyelles.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's going to be an interesting game in that one, too, because, you know, last year, Avoyelles was in a similar situation. They played against Kinder in the playoff game, had to travel to Kinder. Not a lot of people really gave them a chance, but Avoyelles had been one of the more battle-tested teams where they played against teams like Southern Lab and LCA and Terlands Catholic and then came away with the upset against Kinder. Now, obviously, I feel like Kinder, they're probably thinking about that in their mind right then and there, where they know that they cannot let up on these guys if they really want to try to get themselves a district championship. But Avoyelles, I mean, they already know that, hey, we played against Kinder before when the stakes are pretty high. We came away with a win. Now we get this game at our home in Mooreville there. And I think, you know, Avoyelles, they got a chance of possibly winning this game too, because if they also win this game, they know that they get themselves a home playoff game as well. So this one's going to be very tight. This one's going to be very close. Avoyelles has played very well, I think, over the last few weeks here, ever since starting off 0-3. You know, even save for the Menard game where they just couldn't get any offense going, they've been playing pretty well as the season has progressed. And, you know, it looks like right now they're turning it on at the right time here. It could be a very good one. I feel like Avoyelles probably gets this one, though, for me, I think.
This will be a fun playoffs to watch this year, especially with regards to the Central Louisiana teams. We know about Ash. We know about Alexandria. But Avoyelles, Gina, and some of these other schools that we mentioned week in and week out, there's a legitimate chance that Central Louisiana could have a state champion for the first time in I don't even remember how long it's been.
Right. It's been a good minute. I mean, you know, of course, you know, Manny notwithstanding, you know, the last time we had a team that made it down was, you know, you have Ash that made it down there in 2020 when it was in Natchitoches.
Right.
And then, of course, before then, you know, you had some other teams before then, too. Well, it's going to be an interesting thing because I feel like, you know, Ash feels like they're pretty good right now. They you know, they coming off of the loss last year, a bitter loss against the Endicar, and then for them to come back and focused and everything, they've been pretty good. Bunky, of course, you know, they've been playing pretty well, even though their bracket looks like it's going to be very, very tough there. But, you know, you look at some of the other divisions, you see what Gina has done over the past few years. you've seen what the Vols has done over the past few years, and you know, and stood toe to toe against some of these top teams there. It's going to be, like you said, it's going to be an interesting year for Sinla here, where I don't know if we'll have a lot of teams that make it to Thanksgiving football, at least to the quarterfinals, but the teams that can make it have a decent chance of at least making some decent runs, and I think that's a good thing right there.
Lamar Gafford with SinlawPreps.com giving us the lay of the land in Central Louisiana. Lamar, as always, we appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you next week for the playoffs, my friend.
All right. Thank you all so much. Have a good one.
You too. And we're back to wrap up the Pelican State Prep Football Preview right after this. We're back on the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. This, of course, is the final week of the LHSAA football regular season. Playoff brackets will be released midday Sunday. Next week, we'll take a look at the bi-district playoff matchups here on the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. Alan Waddell and I will be live on WWL-FM Friday night with the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. We'll have scores from Thursday night's games and live updates from some of Friday night's top games. That's 7 o'clock to 10:30 Friday night on WWL-FM 105.3, WWL.com, and the Odyssey app. A quick reminder about the LHSAA State Volleyball Championships. They'll be taking place next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at the Cajun Dome in Lafayette. Ticket information and match times posted at LHSAA.org. And finally, a farewell to a friend of the LHSAA and to amateur sports in Louisiana. Robert Boudreau died last week after a battle with cancer. He was 72. Robert was instrumental in growing USSSA in Louisiana, first as the longtime state director overseeing slow-pitch softball and the integration of youth sports into USSSA's repertoire, and later as the head of the Louisiana USSSA Junior Golf Tour. Robert also spent the last 20 years as the head golf coach at his alma mater, Turlings Catholic High School, leading his squad to two state championships. He's a member of both the Louisiana and National USSSA Halls of Fame. Our condolences go out to Robert's wife Liz, his son Beau, his daughter Lindsay, and the rest of the Boudreau family. That'll do it for this week's edition of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. Special thanks to all of our correspondents, Robin Fambro, Kevin Foote, Lou Valden, Troy LaBeouf, Chasten Tavares, Tim Fletcher, Gene Ponte, and Lamar Gafford. I'm Ian Ozan. We'll see you next week for the Bi-District Playoff Edition of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview.
Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.